All right, y'all, I am so excited to be back with you to jump into God's Word together this morning. I want to have special thanks to Dr. David Smith, Executive Director of the Austin Baptist Association. Y'all, that's not common for a guy in that position to spend almost an entire month with a congregation, with the pastors out. That's because he was sweet, and he loves me, and he loves his church and the history of this church and believes in us. And I actually had lunch with him on Monday. Cannot tell you the great report I got from him. And so I'm so thankful for him being here, his presence being here. Love you guys. Also, special thanks to Kevin. Dude, did a great job. Some said, well, how come Kevin didn't preach more often? Y'all, listen, we're trying to launch new ministries in September, okay? And Kevin and I sat down, and I was like, dude, you can't do it all. You can't preach 4 weeks and launch all these new ministries and train up new leaders. That's impossible, and so super thankful for that. But guys, we're still doing this series called The Parables. We're going to do it up through, when we hit September 1, we've got a new series starting. We're going to be in the book of Galatians, but we're still walking through parables. And I just want to remind you what a parable is. It is a short story. Jesus used them often to illustrate a deeper spiritual truth. And they have this strange way, people that really are seeking the Lord, man, these things make crazy amount of sense to them. But people that are hardened, their hearts are hardened to God, it kind of discloses it, like they can't really understand it. And so Jesus would often say when he taught, he who has ears, let him hear. And that is my hope and my prayer for us this morning, that we would be people that have those ears. I need a couple favors from you. One, if you have your Bible, we are going to be in Luke chapter 14. Covering a lot of ground in a short time. We're actually doing two parables this morning. That's what happens when I'm off. Come back, we're going to catch up. Let's go. No, they happen at the same time. You can't really teach one without the other. So Luke 14, two parables. I also need you to grab a bulletin. If you don't take notes using our hard copy bulletin, fill in the blank with pen, then I'm going to ask you to download our digital bulletin, same way you did the offering. Scan the QR code, and it'll take you to an online link where you can take notes. There's spell check. You can save it. You can email yourself. It is worth it. Y'all, worship is about participating. Learning is about participating. We want you to learn with us this morning. So please take notes. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we'll jump in. Father, be glorified in all that we do this morning. King Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this space to come and to fill our pulpit and to teach us about Jesus. Teach us about the kingdom of God from the inside out. Change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to start this morning with a question. How many of you have ever received an invitation? I mean, like an actual hard copy of an invitation. You got it in the mail. Somebody gave it to you at school. You've got an invitation. Are the rest of you, y'all have never gotten an invitation? I personally want to invite you to come back to church next Sunday, okay? You've got one. Invitation, like it's a pretty special thing, isn't it? When you get an invitation, it makes you feel good. That's the intent, by the way. If you receive an invitation, it's because somebody cared about you and somebody wanted you to be a part of something special. The only problem with an invitation is that sometimes if we dwell on the fact that we're special in that other person's eyes, we can start to act differently. It can puff us up a little bit. We can feel set apart. And I want to tell you, I believe exactly that is what's going on in the lives of the Jewish religious leaders in the parables we're going to read today. That they've received an invitation and it's gone to their head. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to read from Luke chapter 14. Starting in verse 1, y'all, we're covering a lot of ground. We're going to read through 24. It's two parables, all in one, but I need you to understand the occasion and what's going on so that we can get something out of it. It says this, on the Sabbath, when he went to eat at the house of one of the leading Pharisees, they were watching him closely. There in front of him was a man whose body was swollen with fluid. In response, Jesus asked the law experts and the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they kept silent. He took the man and healed him, and he sent him away. And to them he said, which of you whose son or ox falls into a well will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could find no answer to these things. Verse 7, he told a parable. That's what we're studying, isn't it? It says, he told a parable to those who were invited. He told a parable to those who were invited to this Pharisee's house. It says, when he noticed, here's the occasion, he told a parable to those invited, when he noticed how they would choose the best places for themselves. He says, when you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't recline at the best place, because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both of you may come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then in humiliation, you'll proceed to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and recline in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will say to you, friend, move up higher. You will then be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Verse 12, he also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters or relatives or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now here's the second story. Ready? Starting in verse 15. It says, when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then he told him, here's the second story, second parable. A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, come, because everything is now ready. But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. Another one said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. And another one said, I just got married and therefore I'm unable to come. So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. Then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. Do you see the connection? Master, the servant said, what you ordered has been done. Verse 22, and there's still room. Verse 23, then the master told the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and make them come in so that my house will be filled. For I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will enjoy my banquet. Whew. That's a lot of ground to cover. We do it all together because both of these parables are taught on the same occasion, and both of them have the same theme, underlying theme of invitation. And so we want to look at them together this morning. And I've got three things I want to show you, but before I can show you any of that, there's kind of a banner truth, if you will. There's kind of a foundational truth that we need to understand about invitation when it comes to the invitation of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is talking about. He is invited to a party hosted by Pharisees. He sees how the people that also have been invited are acting, how they're trying to take places of prominence, how they're treating other people. He sees that there's only kind of an us crowd and all the them people are out there. And Jesus is like, whoa, we got to talk about the kingdom. Sometimes you need a kingdom reset, don't you? So Jesus is like, we got to talk about the kingdom. He's going to talk about invitation. So, but before we can get to his lessons, we need to understand this truth. Here it is on the screen behind me. I want you to know foundational truth that no one is deserving of an invitation from God. That's got to sit with us for a moment. We need to really understand that. This truth has to frame our conversation this morning because it's the truth behind so much of what we're experiencing. Like I said, there's two stories here. Now, we know that God is holy, that God is righteous. We know, according to the Bible, Romans 3:23, that we're not. For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? So none of us are deserving of an invitation. Now, also, we need to know, in Jewish custom, big things always had two invitations. Ready? First invitation. It's basically what we would call a save the date. Has anybody gotten one of those recently? Save the date is, hey, the invitations aren't ready. But save the date is, listen, we want you to know a time is coming, a celebration is coming, a great day is coming, and you matter to us, and we want you to be there, right? That's the save the date. And then later comes the other one, right? Hey, it's happening. Be ready. Now, for us, that other invitation comes pretty soon, but in Jewish custom, that second invitation usually came, hey, it's ready now. It's ready now. The time is now. That special day has arrived. So I just want you to see the context of the conversation. The Old Testament is the Jewish people save the date. Hey, a day is coming. You matter to me. I love you. You're special. A day is coming. I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be waiting for it. I want you to mark your calendars. A day is coming. The kingdom is coming. Things will be set right. I want you to be ready. I love you. You matter to me. That's the Old Testament. And then Jewish custom, when the day comes, when it arrives, that someone comes out again and says, hey, it's here. And here's Jesus. God in the flesh. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made that have been made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. Y'all, God said all throughout the law and the prophets, hey, save the date. A day is coming. A kingdom is coming. I'm going to set this right. This sin that entered the world, I'm going to set it right. A Messiah is coming. A Savior is coming. You're special to me. He's speaking to the Jews. You're special to me. You're invited. And then here's Jesus, God in the flesh, standing before them going, and the kingdom has come. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus is here. God is here. The kingdom is established. It has come and it is coming. And how do the religious leaders treat Jesus? They look for ways to catch him. Right? They look for excuses to ignore his invitation. That's the context of what Jesus is teaching. And so with that in mind, three things I want to share with you guys. Here's the first. I want you to know that we must maintain a right view of self and relation to God and others. We must maintain a right view of self and relation to God and others. Can I ask you a question? How would you act if you received an invitation you didn't deserve? Let's say to the Oscars. If you got an invitation to the Oscars and it showed up in your mailbox, would you run out and buy a tux? Ladies, buy the nicest dress you could. Go get the hair done. Be all made up. Would you show up there on the red carpet, strutting your stuff, acting your thing? When you got into the room and you saw your table was in the back, would you go switch place cards and say, oh no, I'm supposed to be up here with Tom so I can be on camera? They say, which Tom are you talking about, sir? It doesn't matter which one's up for an award today. That's my table. Is that how you would act if you got an invitation you knew you didn't deserve? And the answer, of course, is no. Right? Of course you wouldn't act that way. Don't miss this. Jesus isn't just giving good party advice. This isn't about social etiquette or polite behavior. It does work in those situations, but this is about the kingdom of God. This story is about how we should view ourselves in relation to God and others. And he's speaking to these people, y'all. These people, specifically these Pharisees, these religious rulers, he's kind of calling them out. They got the save the date, but the save the date seems to have gone to their head. In fact, y'all, these people now believe if they can force religion upon others, if they can make other people obey the law of God, then these people, they view themselves as holy. Those other people aren't. They're unclean. But this holy group, if they can make everyone else be holy, then they believe God will have to send the Messiah. Boy, that seems like now they've elevated themselves up here. Right? Man, and so when Jesus shows up, that's evident in their behavior. They're all jockeying for the greatest position at a table, and Jesus is like, man, you guys have missed it. No one's deserving of an invitation to the kingdom of God. Right? No one is deserving of an invitation to the kingdom of God. Our invitation shouldn't puff us up with pride or arrogance. It shouldn't cause us to fight over assigned seating. It should do the opposite. It shouldn't make us proud, but it should make us grateful. because we know exactly who it is that's invited us, that he's holy and perfect and pure, and that we know that we're not, we know that we don't deserve to be there. Now, do we attend? Absolutely. But do we show up and fight over where we're going to seat or who sit or who has the most power? No. We're just happy to be in the room, and secretly, we're always wondering if that invitation went to the wrong address. By the way, it didn't. God loves you. He sent his son to die on a cross for you. Right? It matters. And so, there's a beautiful thing in this. If we can get this, if we can become those people that understand who we are and who God is and that we're not worthy and we see ourselves as not worthy, but we're still coming. If we will humble ourselves, look at this promise in Luke 14:11. Jesus says that kind of behavior will be exalted. It'll be rewarded by God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. So that's where we start, guys. We must maintain a right view of self in relation to God and others. Number two, I want you to know that a right view of self causes us to reach out to others in need. And it is richly rewarded by God. A right view of self causes us to reach out to others in need. So I'm going to go back and I just want to reread verse 12 through 14 for you. It says, he also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you'd be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind. I'll put verse 14 on the screen in a second. You want a quick test to see how humble you are? Ready? Just write it down. This is a quick test. You're like, am I humble? Here's your test. Ready? Take a hard look at your us versus them line. Who's in the us camp and who's in the them camp? Okay? Jesus outlined it for us. For the Pharisees, the us versus them was pretty straight up, right? The us versus them was it was their relatives. It was rich neighbors, right? Friends, he says, friends, brothers, sisters, relatives, rich neighbors. That's who they invited to this party. That's the us. These are my people. And so Jesus, afterwards, he addresses the guy that invited him. He's like, why did you only invite these kind of people? That's how they viewed themselves. Y'all, they viewed themselves as, we're the people of God. All those other people, man, they're dirty. All those other people, man, they're sinners. But we're the people of God. He only invited the people in his us camp. And in the them camp, Jesus points out, he points out poor, crippled, lame, and blind. The invitation had gone to their head. They had forgotten that they weren't worthy. And so they made camps. Well, hey, here's the people of God. Here's the other people. No. The point Jesus is trying to make, of course, is that we're all spiritually poor, lame, crippled, and blind. Every single one of us. And if you think you're a humble person, I want to challenge you to look at your us versus them line. Who's in the us category? Because if you don't understand that in a room like this, you're probably the greatest of sinners that showed up. That's the approach we all have to take. If I don't understand that we're all in the same boat, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that none of us are deserving of what Christ did for us on the cross, then I only love and serve a certain group of people, and those people are always capable of giving me the same thing back. And Jesus says, that's all the reward you'll ever get is here on earth. But man, if I get a hold of this, we're all in the same boat stuff, check this out. Now the us camp is like this. We are all poor. We are all crippled. We are all lame. We are all blind. And when I see everyone like that, then I see other people struggling just like me, and I am always willing to help them out. Right? And Jesus says that kind of behavior, y'all, that's kingdom behavior. He says that'll be rewarded greatly in heaven. Last thing I want to share with you. I want you to know that there's no valid excuse for losing your soul. A little heavy. Welcome back. Got a little heavy in the room. It's okay. So the potential pitfall with the invitation, it could lead to pride. I want you to listen to this. It's really important. Such an elevated view of self, forgetting who we really are, it can lead to forsaking the invitation altogether. So, Old Testament, save the date. You matter. I want you there. You're special. I love you. A day is coming. The kingdom is coming. All things are going to be set right. You matter. Elevated view of self. The kingdom is here. It's here before you. Repent and enter the kingdom. Repent. I'm holy. I'm special. Right? I matter. So Jesus tells this parable. So I'm in verse 16. Here it is on the screen. It says, then he told them, here's our second parable. A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. That's the first invitation. That's the Old Testament. Man, you're invited. You matter. You're special. Save the date. A day is coming. Right? So that's the first one. Then the second invitation. That's Jesus in their midst, by the way. So the second invitation, is it then the servant goes out and says, the day has arrived. And yet these people that, I guarantee, when they first got to save the date, it was a big deal. They're like, oh, God loves us. God's going to restore everything. We're part of His plan. I wonder how long it took for that joy to wear off. And now they're making excuses. Well, I'm a little too busy. Well, now it's not really a time. Yeah, I've got some work to do with my oxen. No, I just got married. We're going to do Niagara, you know, I think. See some waterfalls, something. Like, but after that, maybe. I got a little partying to do. But maybe after that, I'm down with you, right? And they began to miss it. All three men mentioned received the first invitation and made an excuse when the second was before them. And they chose instead what we choose. It's another crazy day of this. Chasing after a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. Living lives where we are focused and concerned and we're worrying about what? Anything eternal? Not really. Right? We fall for that lie. And so what do we do when we hear this warning of Jesus? I know we got some time. We're going to be running out. But here we go. Welcome back. I'm going to give you some application. Number one, I want you to hear the good news. I want you to hear the good news, right? The good news that's proclaimed from week to week to week. The whole Bible, this invitation, save the date. You matter to God. You're special. God loves you. Man, God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to live the perfect life that you couldn't and to die the death that you deserved on the cross. Hear the good news. God loves you. Okay? But second, don't let that good news go to your head. You better keep a right view of yourself. None of us are worthy of that invitation. None of us. And we start thinking, well, look how much God loves me. Look how special I am. It will create in you an us versus them line. Well, I'm so good. And then you'll start looking at other people and you'll be like, well, they're a bad person. I did youth ministry for a long time. My students would talk about their lost friends and they would always say, well, but they're not a good person. I'm like, well, neither are you. You're just saved by God's grace. We're all bad people. It's who we are in our core. We are sinful. We've all rebelled against God. We're all in the same boat. No us versus them line, which is the third thing. So eliminate that junk. Erase it. There should be no them. I don't know who them is for you. It better not be race. I'll kick you out. It better not be socioeconomic status. Get out. Like it better not be language barriers. No. It better not be, well, new construction versus old construction. No. It better not be, but they're sitting in my seat. No. Right? I don't know what your us versus them line is, but there's only us. Fallen children who've rebelled against God and deserve hell. That's us. There's no them. None. So listen, November, people on TV going to tell you to vote. Try to convince you that anybody that doesn't vote for the same candidate as you is the enemy. No, sir. There is no us versus them line. We're all in the same boat. And by the way, all the candidates stink. Love you. I'm all for new age limits. You must be under 50. No, I'm joking. Not going to save you. They're not. That's not what it's about. That's not why we're here, by the way. You know, historically, Christians have suffered and the gospel has spread. So embrace it. Right? Embrace it. Four. don't let any excuse keep you from Jesus. That has like far-passing ramifications. These guys miss Jesus completely. He's standing before them. They're making excuses. Nah, I'm going to do this. But man, every day Jesus invites you to be with him. Every single day. Jesus writes a letter in the book of Revelation to the church of Laodicea. And he says, listen, this is what I hold against you. You're neither hot nor cold for me. I want to spit you out of my mouth. Every day. He's like, but in the same way, he's like, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll let me in, I will come and dine with you. You do not have to be cold or lukewarm. He's like, I wish you were either, but this lukewarm business, I want to spit you out. Every day, Jesus invites you into fellowship with him. Every day, he invites you to be transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit. Every day, he invites you to sit at his feet like Mary. Every day, he calls you a son or a daughter. And we scroll right past it. Every day, we spend hours trapped in fake, unimportant things. When the King of Glory says, man, I just want to spend time with you. Don't let any excuse keep you from Jesus. I don't know what it is, but don't let it happen anymore. Lastly, this is it. I'm going to pray that you would receive the invitation. I don't care if we run over. Quite frankly, my wife will shoot me later. It's fine. Some of you, I'm not just going to talk to the students, but I'm going to talk to the students that are in this session. Some of our students here have been showing up for over a year. They've been coming to Thrive. At Thrive specifically, they hear the gospel over and over and over again. But some of you adults, you've been showing up. We've been on this campus for a little over a year last June, and dang near every single week, we've preached the gospel over and over and over again. God loves you. He sent his one and only son to die for you. And I'm just asking this morning, at some point, are you going to receive it? Or are you just going to keep making excuses? I've heard from youth, well, I don't know that I'm ready. You're not ready? What does that mean? I don't know that I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. You mean I want to still go to some parties? Jesus threw great parties. What do you mean? I don't know if I'm ready to give my life or my purpose or my future. I don't know. But listen, I know that this Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone that invites me in, I will come in and eat with him. And I know that today, the Bible says today, let today be the day of your salvation. Today. So I don't know what you're waiting on, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray right now. And if you're one of those people, you've been making excuses, I pray today that what you've heard, you heard how lame those excuses were, right? Well, I've got some ox I've got to go train. But I've got this. Well, I've got that. I'm just too... You're too busy to become a child of God. You're too busy to enter the kingdom of God. Right? And so let's do this where you are. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to turn this off and grab a different mic. Where you are, I just want you to bow your heads. And if you know I'm talking to you this morning. Now, some Christians in the room, you need to do some business too. You have that us versus them line. You know it. You are not being effective reaching lost people. Because you're only comfortable around church people. You need to ask God to destroy that, give you a heart for the lost right now. But if you are here and you have heard the gospel again and again and again, but you just keep making excuse after excuse after excuse, but you know this morning I am talking to you. Today you're supposed to become a child of God where you are. Would you raise your hand and say, I need Jesus, I want to be saved today. Yeah. I need it today. I want to be saved today. I want to know that I'm a believer today. You just raising your hand and say, yeah, I know that. Man, I want that. All right, y'all, no more excuses, no holding back. Today is the day. Today is the day we say, Jesus, save me from my sins. Jesus, come into my life. And we're just going to pray this prayer. It's nothing magical about my words. You don't have to write them down. It is a simple act of surrender. God, today I heard the good news. I heard that you love me. I heard that you want to save me. But I also heard the only way I can be saved is through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, I believe that you came from heaven, that you lived on earth,
believe that you lived a perfect life and that you died to pay the penalty for my sin. And the best way I know how, I'm going to ask you right now, come into my life and take control. Make me a child of God today. Amen. Amen. Amen.